But first off, before we hop into Dan's presentation and his discussion of where we're at right now with the current system and kind of what the expectations are from a state level of what is to come, and then Barry's discussion of kind of the vision of what Dr. Leonard has and how we can kind of get to part of that through the public health distributed information, distributed geospatial intelligence network, it's hard to say. But before I get to that, let me give you a quick background. About 2 years ago, I went to a conference, the ESRI Federal User Conference, and saw DigiNet, which is Distributed Geospatial Intelligence Network, and it was a defense intelligence system which allowed the live sharing of data between nodes globally. And at that point, it had been running for 6 years, I think it's up to 8 years now. They were sharing data, services, imagery, live across these different nodes, across these agencies, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to have a public health version of that? So I came back to CDC, we talked around CDC a bit about it, and when Dr. Leonard came in to his position, he had a similar vision of the shared framework across public health and decided to do a pilot. And so we've been working on this pilot now of the, you know, PH DigiNet and how we can share public health information across nodes. And so right now we have a live node in South Carolina, we have one at CDC, and we have one in ESRI in California. And so you'll get to see those, hopefully. If the internet participates, you'll get to see that live here shortly. But first, we'll get to Dan and then to Barry.
Thank you, Carl. I also want to thank everyone for staying around. I think it's only because we have a live demo that people are willing to stay. I will also say that I'm not a CDC employee, but I used to be, and I didn't stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. And I am definitely bringing a state perspective here, so please take this as a state perspective, and any reproduction is without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is unallowed. So what I wanted to go into is tell you a little bit about, as an epidemiologist, what we expect from a state. Two things to take away from you. One, disease knows no boundaries. I'm preaching to the choir here, you know that. So what goes on the border of South Carolina and North Carolina, or South Carolina and Georgia, it's of interest to us about what's going on next door. Second is people are persnickety about sharing their data. People from public health are persnickety about sharing their data. Why? It's the fear of losing the interpretive skill. Who's making an interpretation of the data once you allow it to go outside? And from a state, I'm representing a state. I'm also representing our locals. It's really irky when you start having data that's flowing about and you don't have control of that interpretive skill. Colleagues in Boston, New York City, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, we all state the same thing. You really have to have that local domain knowledge to be able to interpret what you're seeing. And one of the reasons why we kind of joined this merry band over here is, one, Carl has been excellent, and also John and Tom and others, to really want to put together a state and federal perspective on this outreach, because it has to be something that's adopted by all. And so a little bit of the background, we're going to talk about the current state of public health, both from a state level and a federal level. You've heard a lot about the distributive model over this past couple days, but we're really going to try to drive that home with a live demo. And this is to take home. This is not, I'm an epidemiologist, so I can look at this and pick it apart as far as, well, I wanted to look at it from 0 to 2 year old, not 0 to 5 years old. And you start wanting to get into that level of granularity and that level of detail. We're not there yet. This is a proof of concept to show that we got some nodes working, we're able to see some data across boundaries, which we haven't been able to do before, and we're on that cusp of being able to go forward with something that we all are very excited about. Okay, you've seen this slide earlier, but I really want to emphasize the fact of laboratories, physicians, they call us locally, they call us being public health locally, call us at the state level, they call directly to CDC, CDC then routes them back to the state or local. So one thing we cannot control is the point of egress, or the point of entry, so to speak. They are going to call. Now, how do you best then take that information and interpret that information to that end user benefit? State and locals, or laboratories and practitioners, report up to the state and county and then report up to the CDC. You will notice, as you've seen in other presentations, it's usually these arrows are a one-way street. One of the things that's been very hard for states to kind of get excited about is what's in it for us. Claire earlier today, Claire Youngblood from South Carolina, talked about reaching out to hospitals and getting them to participate in electronic disease reporting. Their perpetual question is, what's in it for us? What can we get out of it? Is it just a one-way street? Is it just a black box from the local to the state and the state to the Fed? And once again, how do you keep that control and being able to interpret the information? not so much keep control of the data, but interpreting the data. The key point that Claire brought up in her presentation, and I think I owe her $10 from referring to her twice already in this presentation, is how do you then ensure that you have the policies and the protocols for notification that's appropriate to the scenario? The one thing that the states are very leery about in showing data is the CDC going to come tapping on our shoulder saying, you have a problem within your state? Well, yeah, we know about that. We should be able to see the same data that you're looking at. And when we talk about distributed models, that's some of the power that we see in this type of analogy. I think it also very much plays into the situational awareness. It's a buzzword. I know I've used it too many times in the past couple of years. But when you start looking at some of these models that only allow you to see part of the data, in order to get good situational awareness, you have to be able to dig down into the information and say, what does this mean for my location, whether it be local, regional, or state, or nationally, and how does that apply to making it a response that's appropriate for that type of indicator? Especially when you're dealing with things that are not a nationally notifiable condition or a confirmed case. A lot of the information that we've been looking at the state level and other states are far in advance with regards to syndromic or non-traditional sources of data. That's giving you a picture. It's part of the picture. It's not all of the picture. So how do you control that ability to make inference when the inference may be very low in positive predictive value, so to speak? How do you ensure that you're not going out onto that limb and informing your governor, informing your commissioner, informing Dr. Gerberding without having a good validation plan in place so that you can go back and say, this is the strength that I have in making this association from point A to point B, from cause to effect? And I think one of the things, and Jared and I didn't plan on having South Carolina take over the last session here, but South Carolina has this notoriety of seceding first, so maybe we're trying to take over Finn, not quite sure. But one of the power that we see in South Carolina and why we're here presenting it in this manner is South Carolina, from that logo I think Jared had on his, it's the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control. We're one of the few states that have both health and environment in the same agency, point one. Point two, we're one of the few states that actually have a centralized health department structure. Our local county DIS, or our local county nurse, is in the same public health system as our commissioner at me at the state level. So I think that also has some strengths, has some benefits, but that also, you need to be able to have that transparency down to that local level so that they're able to see information and share with you and then we with the feds as well. So I think that's my little spiel here as far as the state perspective and some of the expectations. I'm going to turn it over to Barry now when he talks about what they expect from the states, both realistically from data, but also how this federated model can kind of approach that from a realistic standpoint. Thank you.
So thank you. Just a quick announcement before I begin. NCVI has decided to annex South Carolina, and so we will be, especially their GIS department, and they will be moving to Atlanta shortly. Thank you. So truth in advertising here. My involvement in this project has been more as one of cheerleader and funder than as sort of a hands-on person, so it's a little disingenuous for me to be talking up here. Nevertheless, it's an incredibly exciting movement forward for us. As many of you know, I've been charged with sort of overseeing BioSense and have been involved in BioSense ever since its inception in various capacities. And there's a lot of lessons learned there. And so one of the things that we have really taken to heart is this idea that data analysis should remain local. And you know, it was a hard lesson for us to learn, and it took a long time for us to hear that, but we've heard it loud and clear. And so we've started on a series of pilots, this being one of them, to look at how we can maintain that capability locally, enhance people's capability locally, leave the data in the control of the people closest to where that data is, yet still provide a national perspective. And so what this does in spades is really to fulfill that sort of vision. And as I said, this is one pilot with one state. We're working with other technologies, but this is incredibly promising and incredibly exciting path forward for us. So it does, it leverages existing capacity. Again, it provides local control of data and services. And it fosters collaboration in ways that we were really lacking prior to this within BioSense. I think all of you know we were going directly to hospitals, and while we attempted to engage local public health, we weren't always successful at that, and they were always sort of a bystander at best. This really puts the engagement as a collaboration, and I think that's exactly where it needs to be. Did I go right? So again, you know, I think you've heard this. So what is PH DigiNet? It's a distributed, shared, services-oriented architecture framework to connect data and services. And it's important to understand that there are services available here too. So besides just being able to move aggregated information, one can provide analytic capabilities within this framework as well. And we foresee in the future being able to provide this level of capability or share in the infrastructure support for this level of capability across the entire public health network. So in a nutshell, PH DigiNet provides the ability to discover, fuse, display information from across the community to a client environment. And I'm going to let pictures speak here because really, really, you know, you really need to see this. And I would urge those of you in the way back to come forward because the screen is not that big and we're going to attempt to do something which is rarely ever done in situations like this, which is to actually do a live demo. We have plan B just in case, but we are going to show you information flowing from South Carolina, from California as well, into a node and then display it here in real time. So you want to take it from here?
So right before we get to the demo, you know, one thing to remember about this is even though there is this current version has it's an ESRI, the GIS function is by ESRI, the company that makes GIS software. It's Respite's open source and it's based on open standards. And if you're not an ESRI shop, it doesn't mean that you can't participate. As long as you're producing information and services in an open standards framework, then it can be shared and consumed with the rest of the community. So if you're not an ESRI shop, you don't have to be. That's not the important part. The whole important part of this is that we're building a framework that allows us to share information, whether it's your published information or consuming information. Whether you're able to give data or you're able to share services, I can leverage your investment and do my job better. So if a person in Ohio is creating a really great geoprocessing tool, in other words, a really great cluster tool, we shouldn't have to rebuild it at CDC. We shouldn't have to rebuild it in Indiana. They should be able to hit that and use it and integrate it into their application. So that's kind of the basis of this whole discussion. And so we'll get into the demo. Before I get to the actual live demo, I wanted to run you through just two slides so that you understand the data flow. And so when we get to the actual live demo, you'll understand what's happening in the background. So first off, we have, let's say you're whoever. All you need is an internet browser to access DigiNet. So right now, all we have on this machine is Firefox. We're going to access this via Firefox. We're going to hit the South Carolina node in Columbia, and then we're going to come back and hit the CDC node. We're going to hit the California node and the CDC data and do stuff. So first off, if you're the end user in South Carolina, you're going to come out here and you're going to say, okay, what can I do? So you're going to open up the portal, and you see here there's a screen that pop up, and you'll get to see all this shortly. And you get to do, in this particular task, you're going to do an aggregated query. And so a query allows you to go out and ask questions, right? In this case, we're going to have a dialogue. We'll say, well, what kind of query do you want to do based on what? We're going to choose one syndrome. We're going to choose, you know, what gender and age group, age cohorts, and what nodes we want to hit from, and then we're going to see the results. And so in this case, we're going to come in. We would hit just the South Carolina node, or excuse me, the CDC node. It's going to send that SQL query over to the CDC node. So wherever in the world we're at, we're in Ohio. We're hitting the South Carolina node. It's going back to Atlanta, hitting data on the CDC node with the query. The CDC side is going down to row-level data, pulling up information you put in based on the attributes, the values, the variables that you entered in that dialogue. It's aggregating those to the level of the geography you asked for, so zip code, county, whatever it happens to be. It sends that aggregation back to the South Carolina node, and then comes back and displays the map of the histogram of the stuff that met your variables. So that's what happens when you hit one node. So what happens when you hit multiple nodes at the same time, asking for the same information? So in that case, you're coming back up and you're saying, hey, I don't just want South Carolina hospital data, chief complaints data from South Carolina's hospital. I want VA data from the CDC node for the same county in South Carolina. So for a person in South Carolina, they just want to see counts for their hospital. Because, gee, here's a VA medical center sitting in the same county, which they're not getting information from because it's over at CDC. So how can they hit their county and get a count from both in real time? I mean, if Jared went in right now and changed this data, we would see it right now. So we come in, we select the two nodes we want to get data from. It sends a request out to both nodes that you request. So it sends a request to the South Carolina node, and it sends a request to the CDC node. Both of them go down access row level data. Both of them aggregate the data and come back up. It sends the aggregation back to the node that you're hitting. So whichever portal you're hitting, it sends the aggregation back to it. And then it comes back up with an aggregation of an aggregation. So two aggregations aggregated, right? And then it comes back with the resultant map showing your chloropleth map with a combined aggregated distributed query coming back and feeding the chloropleth and the histogram. Does that make sense? Okay, so now let's do it live and hope it works. All right, so can you hear me okay? I'm gonna try to sit down and do this. It's kind of hard to stand and bend over and do this. So right now, oh yeah, thanks, Jared. So for instance, on this particular map you're seeing, this is a South Carolina node. This is in Columbia right now. We're accessing via Firefox from here. The data you see in the background is coming off the servers in California, the ESRI office. So this is all live base data that they have on their server in California. So as we're doing these, you have three things happening. One, you're looking at base data from California coming off the ESRI node. Two, you're getting aggregated data from the node you're querying, and then you're displaying the information. So all the background information is actually the same data that Jared was showing you earlier. Okay, so we have the South Carolina node right now. We're accessing via Firefox. If I come up here to my aggregated query to ask a question of, I want to know what flu cases we have in by county in South Carolina. So if I come in and say define query, it comes up and asks, well, what do you want to do? And you have a choice of some variables. In this case, it's a very limited data set for demo purposes. But you see in here, we have flu and GI. We have aggregation types of county or zip. We have different age cohorts. And of course, gender and then date ranges. In this case, let's just go to the node, and in here, this UDDI is in California. So right now, if Ohio, for instance, added a node on, we would see there's live added to it. So this is a live list of the nodes currently available on that UDDI. That make sense? So remember, this is all live data. So if I come into South Carolina, and I choose the hospital data, and then I say submit query, now it's going back to South Carolina, build the query against their data set, and then it will build a chloropleth map.
Yeah, and this server that he's running this off in South Carolina, this is a server that we retired for doing production applications, so it's not requiring much computing power, high-end hardware, or anything like that.
So there's a chloropleth map built on in live, so the data set's in South Carolina. Jared could have someone there right now changing the data, and we would see it live right now.
Let me also interject, too. This is hospital syndromic data de-identified and spatially distributed. So we're not focusing on one particular hospital. For this demo purpose, it's just data thrown out to show.
So this is South Carolina. Us, wherever we're at in the world, hitting the South Carolina data across the internet, seeing South Carolina data. I can click on a county, and a histogram pops up showing me the distribution of counts by county for the data from their system. So you can come back and say, well, that's fine. This is South Carolina data. But I really want to see not just the hospital data in that county, but I also have interest in what CDC data we have for that same county or the counties in South Carolina. So if I go back to my aggregated query, and we'll go down to our nodes, and this time let's turn off South Carolina, and let's hit the CDC node and the VA data, and then submit query. So this time it goes out and hits the CDC node through the South Carolina node. So you see, we have a bigger server. Ours is faster.
We need more money.
I'm sorry, did I use my outside voice?
So that request went to South Carolina, then South Carolina to Atlanta, and then back to South Carolina to our browser here. And so here's the VA data. We click on Richland County, and there we see a count of 17 cases of flu for that, you know, for those variables that we chose. We're like, well, that's fine. So now we've saw hospital data for South Carolina. We've seen VA data for South Carolina. So now let's see them together. Give us a better picture. I can go back to the query and go back to my nodes. Again, this could be any nodes that are added on here. And now we're going to have both selected. So we have VA and we have hospital. and then we hit submit query. So now it's going out like that second slide I showed you, and it's going back to both nodes, getting data, and sending them back to the South Carolina node, and then sending it back to us. And this is the South Carolina part slowing us down. That was actually a lesson learned, by the way, that the lowest denominator in the equation, you know, helps determine some of your speed. So now we have a combination of information between both the hospital data out of South Carolina and the VA data from CDC. And now if I click on Richland County, we have 39. Remember before it was 22 for the hospital and 17 for the VA, and now it's 39 for the total of hospital and VA. Well, I can say that's fine because now we're seeing it at a county at a time. But I want to see multiple counties together. So I can come back to my query and say I want to do a multi-county histogram. And so you come in and say I want to select counties. So I want this county and I want this county. So now we have two counties selected. Now if I come back here and I say generate histogram, there's a histogram for those counties together. Or you can say, well, that's great, you know, so we see, you know, the histogram of counts between VA data and hospital data for counties, across counties, but I want to see what's in Georgia, right across the border, because maybe there's something spanning the border. So if I come back in and do the same thing, I can select my Georgia list here, add it to it, and then come back and say display again. Now we have another county added in. We have Aiken out of South Carolina, we have Edgefield out of South Carolina, and we have Richmond out of Georgia. So Georgia one is just VA data, but the South Carolina is VA and hospital data. Does that make sense? Everyone understand the data flow that's happening? Okay, so now let's go to the CDC node. So that, this time we're in a browser from, you know, just a Firefox browser is all I have going out to the South Carolina node, and now I'm gonna do the same thing but from the CDC side. So now here's the CDC node running here in Atlanta. So I can come back. Oops.
Are you saying CDC is slower than South Carolina?
I think I clicked too quickly. I was impatient. So let's go back out and look at the South Carolina data, just like we did from the South Carolina node. And now it's going to the CDC node, then over to South Carolina, and accessing the real level data, aggregating that, and sending it back to CDC. And then to our browser, which we could be anywhere in the world. I forget Jared to upgrade his server. So now if we come back and do the same that we did last time, we click on Richland County, we see now again, it's like the last one, we have 22, you know, count of 22 cases in that county or any of the counties, you can click on any of these. If I come back to the define query again, and then come back and select again just the CDC one. See how fast that is? And now we see the stuff in the CDC node. Again, if I click on it, we see the counts and the histogram for the data from the VA node, the VA data set for the CDC node for South Carolina. And then if we do the both nodes again, I think you guys get the idea, right? The point is, and the biggest point about this whole thing, it's not that it's GIS-centric. It just happens to be a GIS-centric application. It doesn't have to be. It's about data. It's about a shared services framework. It's about having a UDDI we can find services and use them for our applications. It's about leveraging each other's intelligence or each other's expertise and investments. So right now, we're able to leverage the stuff that Jared has done. That's why they were a natural test for us in this pilot, a natural partner for us in this pilot, because it was the next step for them anyway. They were already going this route. So we have both in here. We come back, submit query. Again, South Carolina slowing us down. And there it is. And so we can click on these, and again, you see 39. And if we do our multi-county histogram, you can select a number of these, as many as you want that have counts. Again, this is going back to South Carolina, so it hits this, goes to South Carolina, has this data, you know, and then builds this histogram. So we see here for the counties we selected, there's a total count of counties, and then the data counts per county. I get together. That's kind of cool. You know, I realize this is very limited because we had a very short time to do this. And then I was out of the country for a big part of it. So other people have to, thank other people for making it actually happen, like Johnston. But it's cool. It's up and it's going. It's one tool in a, you know, in a framework. We can build a lot of tools. And that's going to require some of the stuff we're going to talk about here shortly on lessons learned, next steps, et cetera. So let me hop back over to the presentation. Animation too. Okay, so lessons learned. So in this case, you know, we had a very specific guideline. We wanted to have something to show by Finn. And so we decided what was it going to be. Now, Les wanted to see a distributed aggregated query across states. And so that was the first thing we started with. And it works. And so we were successfully able to deploy three nodes, one in California, one in South Carolina, one in Atlanta. We were able to show how we can combine data together without actually transferring their data to us. So that data stayed in South Carolina. All the row level data stayed with them under their control. So here's the important message here, right? That the data stays home. And if you don't play right, guess what happens? They turn it off. So it's under the control of the source of the information who owns it. And they're able to share it back with us. We're able to integrate into applications. We're all able to leverage each other's intelligence and investments. So lessons learned. One, we kind of already knew this, right? Collaboration is huge. So either we all participate together or it fails. That's kind of where it's at. You know, if it's hard for, as you've seen in the past in various stuff, that if CDC tries to push stuff out, it's maybe not as successful as if we all work together. And so the key to this project, and we're going to look at next steps coming up, is going to be what do you all want to do? So the next step is going to be how do we build, and we're talking about next steps coming up, is how do we build a community of practice or a working group around this and get your input. What do you want from this? And how do you want to see it leveraged? You know, I was talking to Kathy Cook earlier, who's at the Lincoln Health Department, where I started out my public health career in the Lincoln Lancaster County Health Department. And when I came to CDC, it was a hope that somehow we could eventually directly support the LLCHD, the Lincoln Health Department. And it can do that. So the whole goal is that a service that's built out of one agency can be shared out and leveraged by a local agency or state agency. And they don't have to rebuild that piece. They get it, they integrate into an application, they use their money more wisely for the rest of it, not that piece. Oh, and the weakest hardware slows the whole system down. I mean, I laugh about that, but we don't have minimum specs yet. I mean, this is still pretty new on how it's gonna be delivered. That's gonna be part of our discussion again on next steps. What is the weakest link? What is the, you know, what is the smallest box you could use to really get good, you know, good functionality of? So we're gonna talk about that. We don't have the answer to that yet. But it'll come, and we'll figure it out. And it works, nothing wrong with what Jared has done. You know, he's done this all for free. I can't complain at all. You know, so, but you see there's a difference in performance between different types of hardware. So next steps, like I said, you know, community of practice. You know, you all are the community, and this is either gonna be successful because of you or not. And so we want to like to put together a community and get your input on what next steps are and how you can leverage this and how we can leverage your input and your intelligence. We realize there's a whole other security side of this, right? And interoperability between systems, and that's part of the discussion in the community of practice. You know, what? How do we, you know, overcome some of that? What are the security requirements and how much needs to be secure and which parts don't? The DigiNet side, when I say real DigiNet, because there's this DigiNet side, right, that's been running for 8 years, and these folks have some pretty cool stuff. In other words, when I first saw it, when they were sharing terabytes of imagery across the globe on a low bandwidth connection, that's pretty impressive. And so when I saw that, I was like, wow. But guess what? They're all in a classified network. So if you have access to the classified network and you're one of their nodes, you have access to all the data. So that's pretty easy to do compared to our community, which will not operate on a classified network. It's going to be unclassified. But some data sets don't need to be secure. They could be openly distributed, and some have to be, you know, protected. And then the future steps of what are the next features, what are the next functions, you know, and what's important to everyone, and kind of determine, you know, we all raise a hand or however we're going to do it and say, okay, there's 10 votes for this piece, and the money sources that be agree, and it fits into the plan, then that seems logical, right? So that will be determined by you all and by the bosses at CTC. So kind of next steps, I wanted to show one quick slide to you on this. There's a number of slides that showed kind of the next release of the other DigiNet versus a public health DigiNet. But my thought is that, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, if this continues on, the public health version of DigiNet will look nothing like the other DigiNet. We don't have the same restraints they have. We don't have to operate on a classified network. We don't have their defense-related certifications to have to meet that they have to. There's this DOTA-certified system, which I don't understand, I just know the words, only allows them to do certain things. One is, they're not using ArcGIS server yet, so they're not using all the capability they could be using right now. They're on, IE6. CDC, we're on 7. So initially, we had problems doing that. Firefox works well. But there's stuff like that that we don't have the same sort of certification they have to go through, and so we can go beyond what they're doing and use the latest technology like ArcGIS Server and some other stuff. But the other big part is, like you see up here, the ability to go out and integrate, either consume or publish from non-ESRI. So you're going out and you're accessing open standards, OGC compliant services. The W over here, the WMS and the WFS, those are OGC. Services. So in other words, that's an open standard service that's built out of whatever product. It doesn't matter what kind it is. But it can be consumed and used in non-ESRI products. Ours happens to have ArcIMS in it right now. We're looking at ArcGIS Server for the next part. But it doesn't have to be. It could be Google Earth. It could be an OGC map viewer. It doesn't matter. And that's the beauty, right? You don't have to use the same products we use as long as we're all sharing the same way. And we know that whole discussion about standards. And it's important for this piece of it. Okay. A lot of folks were involved in this from the ESRI side in South Carolina, and of course CDC in North Carolina. We haven't mentioned North Carolina, but they've been very involved with us. John has been on all the calls and given us input on what we're doing and what the message is, and we hope to get them involved soon as we look at next nodes. California right now has been chomping at the bit to get involved. The minute we start looking at additional partners, they were jumping up and down, like the kid in the back row wanting attention. And if you're from California, I'm kidding. But they really want to get involved because they're going that route right now. They're already going the services route, and they really want to do this. And so we're looking at how we can work with them. If you have questions or comments, here's the folks up here that can probably answer some. So we have the South Carolina CDC, Bering Point, and ESRI contacts. So I guess I'm done unless you have questions for the three of us. Yes.
You showed a map and then you showed a histogram. How do you get your data into the system?
So the system, so for instance, right now.
How do you know about the flu cases electronically?
These cases were a database of chief complaints, a test data set of chief complaints data from the hospital system in South Carolina.
The question is, how does the information get into the system from a doctor reporting a case? Does that sum up?
Seeing a case.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to get that virtual, physician is seeing a case. It's all the bottom line is, how well is the data going into the system? Right now, we were just playing with flu chief complaint data from our syndromic surveillance system. We haven't really gotten to the point of saying, are we going to put in all of our culture-confirmed flu cases? Are we going to expose that? Are we going to expose our ILI data, influenza-like illness data that we collect, or sentinel influenza provider data? That's for discussion. That's where we go beyond seeing what the technology can do. It's what does the policy and procedure and legal issues that each state has to answer, in my opinion, each state has to answer, and the CDC has to do a lot of answering too, to ensure that what we're sharing is okay. Bottom line, this could be an entire discussion regarding the legalities of sharing data of this nature. But I think from a standpoint of, I wanted to see as an epidemiologist what was going on across the border. I mean, I can call Wendy Cameron or Susan Lance in Georgia and find out, or folks in North Carolina, but I also wanted to be able to see and also share our data with them so they can see. And that's, in my opinion, I hate to use another buzzword, but that's a paradigm shift for many people in public health who are epidemiologists and are kind of scared of showing data. But to answer your question, it's not going to replace that astute clinician identifying a case of flu that may be novel strain and knowing who to report on the local public health level to say, this is a problem, what am I going to do with it? If there's epi background that says this person was from Guangdong province in China and had recent travel history and has signs and symptoms of upper respiratory, they better do something regarding isolation and quarantine now. Don't wait for a black box to tell you. So there has to be that dual focus of both ensuring that you have urgently and immediately portable condition, and also how do you use this for trend analysis to determine what's going on in your jurisdiction, so that we can both answer a question and CDC has that information because someone's tapping on their shoulders too. Sorry, long answer. I hope I answered the question though.
More questions?
The question is how to get other data up beside like this one, if you have multiple data sets within South Carolina or across partner agencies within your community that wanted to participate. In the case of like internal to South Carolina, you know, Jared and crew would have to make those data sets available. I mean, they would decide what they're going to upload and share and make it available to the network to consume and at what level and at what level of security. So that would be their choice on what they wanted to share. When you saw that query builder come up and I hit the select node, and it went over and said, okay, what nodes are currently available on from that UDDI? When I clicked the South Carolina, it could have had multiple data sets in there. In this case, it had in hospitals. But it could have had multiple data sets if that's what Jared wanted to share out with the community. Now, from partners around, we'd have to talk about that, whether it was fed up to the state health department or whether there was some kind of service they wanted to build and just push that service to the state health department and through. There's probably a number of different ways that could be handled. You know, it doesn't mean they would have to have a full-blown DigiNet node themselves to participate, but if they could create a service, which you can create services without creating a node, you know, you can create services. Jack? Yeah, I haven't seen it. I mean, I would like to, I guess, to see how it's transferred. Is data just transferred as a lump thing over there, or does data still reside and stay back there? Because in this case, we're not really transferring data as aggregate information. We're not taking the row-level data.
But it does utilize some of the same things that
you license. Yeah, I can actually address a couple of things there, because one of the other pilots we're working on is a gateway between the EPA exchange nodes and the FinMS network, and looking at how we might be able to leverage FinMS into a federated environment as well. So there's discussions, there's multiple discussions and multiple efforts going on, but I am aware of that. And as I said, we are looking at how to bridge those two networks, you know, ultimately with everyone sort of converging on a single standard, but you know, that's world peace and hunger will be cured before that happens. But we are looking at that, and so it is interesting, and we are aware. Thank you.
Off that, as long as they're all, you know, open, you know, kind of standards on how they share the services, they can all be consumed by each other. So, in other words, I can consume a service from theirs if it's service based, and they can consume ours,
right, and
so. Right. We've talked to tracking a little bit about how this could support them. So, yeah, Alex Charleston and I have chatted a bit about that.
Let me just mention the one issue about South Carolina. The only reason why I mention it is because that's one way public health can be structured. I think you have to look at the many ways public health are structured across the country to see what works best. I mean, some people look at us and say, wow, you're one big happy family. Well, we may many times are one big happy dysfunctional family too, because we're a centralized health department structure. So there are pluses and minuses. I think what has also come out from the CDC recently is trying to address that issue through regional surveillance collaboratives, which is kind trying to address the legal, policy, data sharing issues among entities who may use a technology like that, so you can put the processes behind the ability of technology to do something. Richard Hopkins, who may or may not be here in Florida, is a big advocate for trying to ensure that we look at the policies and the processes for how we share data. I think from that standpoint, that has to go right along with this. Otherwise, we're only addressing one state's problem. We're not addressing how that is affected in LA County, or we're not addressing how it's in Colorado.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. This is what we're doing here and now. This is why we're here and doing this presentation, is to try and convince you that this technology is viable And we're trying to convince ourselves too, quite honestly. I mean, you know, let's be honest, it's a pilot. So we're still trying to understand this, but we think this comes the closest to the realization of that vision that we have ever seen. And, you know, that's very encouraging. So we are on the road selling it from a vision perspective, but also now we have the technology to go out and start to show people that it really will work. And I think it's going to be very convincing and very compelling.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's metadata involved in it, and through this component, you don't see if there's another portal window that's the full-blown DigiNet viewer, which you can go through and do searches on the metadata to find information through different means and what versus just in this case was a very trimmed down, how do we show an aggregated query version of it versus a full-blown portal that has a lot of other tools that are installed typically with it, and one's how to do metadata searches and where does it live in the world and all that kind of good stuff. And that's a good point, Jeff, because it doesn't have to be just GIS data. I mean, this is a geospatial-centric approach to something the DIA, CIA group wanted to do. But you know what? If you have metadata, it doesn't have to be geospatial. You could find documents that are non-geospatial in someone's repository and use that information as well. So as long as there's metadata and information about it, you can find it and use it. So.